This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Now that a deeply divided U.S. Supreme Court has struck down Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, what is the effect on our voting and our elections here in Georgia, which is, of course, one of the states covered by the Voting Rights Act? Now joining us from Emory University, political scientist Merle Black, professor of political science at Emory. Professor Black, welcome back. Good to have you.
Glad to be here, Dennis.
First of all, on the state level, talking about what the Georgia legislature might do now, if the state now no longer has to get preclearance from the Justice Department, is it possible that we will see from a vastly majority GOP legislature more voter ID requirements, for instance, stricter limits on some of the provisions of state and federal law that Democrats have relied upon?
Well, we already have voter ID, photo ID in Georgia. That went into effect in 2008. I don't think there's any reason to see that that's going to be changed in the state. I don't think that would have much effect in the future. What you have is a situation where the Republicans figured out some time ago that it was actually in their interest to have a fairly sizable number of majority-minority districts that blacks and other minorities could win and hold in Georgia, because that meant an even larger number of congressional or in state legislative districts would be majority white. And at the time when white voters were shifting away from the Democrats over to the Republicans, the net beneficiaries of that shift were the Republicans. So I don't think the Republicans in Georgia have any interest in really trying to radically reduce the size of blacks in the state legislature or in the congressional delegation, because they indirectly benefit even more than do African Americans through those kinds of arrangements.
Yeah, you anticipated actually my next question, which was, do you think that we'll now see Republicans in the legislature draw even more Republican legislative and congressional districts?
Well, these preclearance has now been thrown out, at least for the time being, but you still have Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. That's still in effect. And it's quite possible for civil rights groups to challenge any set of redistricting procedures if they think it's been unconstitutionally done through the route of Section 2. Now,
but
civil
of course
rights groups don't like Section 2 as much as the Section 5, because then the burden of proof becomes on the civil rights groups to show that these laws are unconstitutional, and they also have to bear the cost of this litigation. So, you know, this ruling is a big setback for civil rights groups, no question about it.
Congressman John Lewis, in his written statement, said, "I am deeply concerned that Congress will not have the will to fix what the Supreme Court has broken." Those are his words. Is it even politically possible to see a new formula for the Voting Rights Act ever get out of Congress?
Oh, I think it's possible. I don't know what that formula would be. I think it is possible, but I think Congressman Lewis is right on the mark. I think it's much tougher to do this right now. We have all these other problems facing the nation right now, and the issue of preclearance, as important as it has been, it does not seem to be at the forefront of the nation's attention in terms of doing this right now. So, all of these issues that are facing the Congress right now, where you have a very divided Senate and House. Two different parties controlling both those institutions, President Obama, it's very, very difficult to pass anything of major consequence. And now this legislation, now that the court has ruled and said you can't use the triggering formula that's been in place since 1964 and then extended to 1972, once the court has said you can't use that formula, then it's kind of back to step one as to saying, you know, what is that formula that would identify places in the United States that really deserve, because of current racial practices, special scrutiny from those parts of the country that don't have that at all. And that's what most Americans live in, situations where their election law is not subject to preclearance whatsoever.
Wouldn't it be difficult for Congress logistically to write up a formula, because these days it might not be state law or state practice, you know, in a big picture kind of way?
Yeah.
It would be more local practices or individual violations, and it's much harder to write a formula that says, okay, this little area has to be pre-cleared, but the rest of this area doesn't. It would be much tougher task than it was back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, much, much tougher. Well, the practices are not the same. The behaviors that are trying to be corrected are not the same.
The abuses, you're saying, are...
Yeah, the abuse is not the same. No, no. There could still be abuses, but they're not the abuses we saw in the 50s and 60s.
Here's the other side of that,
okay. And
that is it possible that the Voting Rights Act has acted as a deterrent to some of the abuses that might have happened, and that mm-hmm. now that this has been tossed by the Supreme Court, Section 4, that it will be easier for people to do things that would violate the Voting Rights Act and then dare people who have been affected by those abuses to challenge it because it's much harder for them to do that now?
Well, if individuals wanted to do certain things like that, I think if you're making calculations at the margin and you're asking yourselves, what can we get away with? But it's much harder to do that if you have a preclearance because you know you're going to be automatically checked. If you don't have the preclearance, you may or may not be checked. And if you are checked, then it has to be through Section 2, and the presumption of showing the practice to be unconstitutional would rest with the civil rights groups, not with the individuals who made the change in the election laws. I think that's why the civil rights groups are so upset with the decision. Because it really is a setback for the civil rights groups in lots of ways. One is it changes, the presumption of innocence or guilt, and then it also raises the cost of making these challenges. So if you have individuals who think they couldn't get away with some things in the past, now think they can get away with it, it might be possible. But we're not talking about what was going on in literacy tests or poll taxes or stuff like that in the 1960s. We're talking about shapes of election districts and things like that.
A lot more subtle stuff.
Very much more subtle and important, not unimportant at all, but much more subtle and much more open just to politics.
Merle Black is a professor of political science at Emory University. Professor Black, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dennis.